topic of the week, recruitment drive. In the wake of another election, once again sold to the voting public as the choice between upholding democracy or hastening the collapse into fascism, I am disappointed but unsurprised to see anarchists treading the well-worn ground of speaking to the disillusioned, frightened voters in their moment of fear. Anarchists promise that conversion and adherence to some easy-to-digest version of our ideology will bring about the world they hoped to vote into existence and grant them some greater autonomy for self-advocacy in the process. People hurry to publish electoral postmortems that establish our non-party line and their solutions to preparing oneself for the catastrophe that looms just beyond the changing of the calendar year. These solutions are unsurprisingly pretty much what they usually advocate: arming oneself to counter the emboldened fascists, organizing into militant formations to fight class war, building newer and wider mutual aid networks, gathering together with your community through acts of care, finding each other, etc. All now with the haphazard urgency that the approaching threat represents a dire new paradigm that will replace the status quo that we found intolerable mere weeks ago. Further problematizing this, community and the defending it against threats has been utilized in almost equal or greater measure in right-wing political tradition. Left liberal community organizers are an equally established tradition, and some, at least, are not simply trying to make a career in the Democratic Party. Is there a value in attempting a radical appeal to community, and should we at least ask what community is before doing so? Monsieur Dupont, choose whichever half still appeals to you, spoke about pro-revolutionaries being unable to escape the consciousness-raising phase of their social movements. I am struck by the anxiety of anticipating the milieu's sad return to the big tent, the dilution of our projects to accommodate fresh new faces with the same fresh new ideas, the tides of the movement awash in enthusiasm. We often decry the vampiric opportunism of socialist parties and progressive campaigns that feed upon the energy of the newly radicalized masses. But is that a rejection of their methods, or simply envy that their ground game, with its flash and pomp and clean-cut answers, outpaces the typically slow and Socratic acculturation that our tendencies repent, or that our own tendencies, sorry, acculturation of our own tendencies to replenish ourselves? It's a wordy bastard. Have we given in to this jealousy by spending our time evangelizing in the marketplace of soothsayers, attempting to draw in the seekers by rephrasing our destructive desires to their most benign, palatable, and minimalistic gestures of refusal? Is there a point in which our anti-politics, the militant refusal of the compartmentalization of daily life into politics, sheds its militant form and becomes simply the politicization of the mundane acts of service, strengthening the abstractions that form our society? This is Vale. I'm here with Petra and Larkspur. Say hi.
Hi.
There you go. Drinking a big glass of brioski after a hearty round of soup from my family.
Who's your family?
Who's your community?
We're gonna
Oh,
find
it's just
out
my
today.
polycule.
Yeah, my polycule. So yeah, we're going through it. So yeah, immediately off the rip, I mean, this isn't this is yet another topic of the week that is written by someone who isn't really asking a question, who is clearly seeming to broadcast their displeasure with something that we are meant to find fairly repugnant and stuff.
The topic of the week being used in such a way that's
Yeah.
That's unprecedented.
As a soapbox.
Right? We've never had that happen before.
Yeah, it happens, I guess. I guess we can break it into a few sections of it. I mean, I know Petra, you're like a little further outside of like kind of activist, quote unquote,
Yeah,
milieu,
I'm
like
completely. I mean, I
spaces.
guess I see bits of it through peers that have remained invested in it on, like, I mean, I totally uninstalled Instagram, but sometimes I'll look in at it on browser and I'll see a lot of like general consciousness raising stuff. It was interesting to me to see on Twitter, though, people who like seemed to me to be fairly radical, who had interests in like music or literature or stuff like that, the same as me. I expected to not be like evil Cheeto Man bad types, but they were really flipping out, right?
Yeah.
Which is, I guess, it's the time where we see those people kind of reveal themselves,
The
right?
return of Trump derangement syndrome to
The
our
return of Trump
social.
derangement syndrome. Well, I guess, I mean, it was intense. Like, my father was fixated on the idea of being able to do the idea that his mail-in ballot was going to be stolen and that there was interference happening at the post office, that there were the weird sort of blue MAGA, like they're like pseudo, almost like QAnon-y, like
Yeah.
paranoia. So that was interesting to witness how the kind of radical liberal, like extreme pragmatist, like people who are fixated on elections
Yeah.
perceive things, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think too, in like every kind of like political sea change of like, the party in power or whatever, I think there's like this like rush within
Yeah.
more mainstream anarchist space who like deal very heavily in like realpolitik sort of
Yeah.
discussion to like broadcast like the I don't know, the missive or like the sermon from like the
Right.
anarchist tendency to like, I guess what, not worry, but also like prepare yourselves and stuff, which.
Yeah, and I the big thing I saw, I guess now that I think about it, was also the sort of like radical, quote unquote, radical queer people really freaking out and being
Yeah.
like treating it as a blow specifically to them, right? This weird, like, now I'm now unsafe. I'm a middle class,
Yeah.
right, white person, and I'm suddenly unsafe by this movement. They're going to be hunting me in the street the moment the power change happens, right?
Right. Yeah.
But it's funny because Trump seems a little cunty,
My
right?
God.
Indeed, like most
Yeah.
gay people I don't know.
Oh my God. Yeah, no, I think there was I think the worst thing I saw was just like election night. There's just this one band that just like their only thing that they just posted the trans suicide hotline number.
Oh my
Just like
God. That's grotesque,
little on
though.
the nose, guys. Don't you think?
No.
I was
No,
like,
I don't
oh
like
Jesus, okay.
that.
I was hoping for a return to the safety pin. Like the covert safety pin as a signal of
Oh my God.
that was so good. I remember they were like people were like selling like Bloomingdale's or something. It was like fucking selling like
Like big safety pins.
fancy safety pin like brooches to indicate.
I remember, like, 'cause I was dog walking at the time in like a really kind of wealthy area outside, like well outside of where I lived. And I remember being in like a crazy expensive apartment complex as the help and running into someone wearing one of those safety pins who was just like a complete, like, intense, closed off, cruel, wealthy woman with the like extremely big visible safety pin and just being like, God, fuck these people, right?
Yeah.
Feeling like that intense disdain, right?
Yeah, I think there's, I don't know, a lot of that stuff feels to me like I have a hard time recognizing it as like part of what I care about or am invested in like anarchist space and stuff, though I know that like it very much preoccupies a lot of people. And I don't know if that's because I'm just have like kind of a like a kind of like less investment in like activism and stuff, but like I feel like these are like big conversations that take place in like spaces that I really tend to kind of avoid conversationally.
Yeah.
I don't know
Yeah,
how
it's
much
just.
any of that was a conversation. It felt like it was fear that kept feeding on itself. Even I was, I mean, like I logged off and went outside. Listeners, you should too. But for a while on like the days after the election, I was kind of getting the fear too, just because it was so nonstop. And you do get that sense that, oh, well, everybody is panicking about this. And there are like legitimate fucking things to be concerned about. I don't think any of us are denying that. But it was weird feeling that sort of social contagion hit me and then go, oh, this is a social contagion. Stop.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I
I didn't
think.
feel that at all. I still don't feel, but I mean, I had like intense personal tragedy stuff happening at the time, and
Yeah,
it
I
was
think, yeah.
weirdly kind of a it was almost, I mean, I wasn't really that stressed out last time even. I think Trump's funny.
My God.
just maybe not a good position to have, but I find him endlessly kind of entertaining. It's all fucked. We're all fucked. Who fucking cares, right? But it's like when there's bigger shit happening, you're just kind of like, it's weird to watch everyone spin and just be like, this is not the thing I'm concerned with, right?
I mean, I think.
There's like these realities in my day-to-day life that extend way beyond abstract policy, right?
Yeah, it just, it, like I said, it just feels like whether or not, like I feel like it doesn't touch my day-to-day life nearly as, I mean, it does on some levels, obviously. Arguably, it probably does for you too, in just ways that like we're not always really talking about and stuff.
Possibly.
But like, yeah, I don't know. At the same time, I like kind of choose to kind of ground my what like I guess what I would say like political activity or like political attention and like other things vaguely. I've like kind of put myself behind this, and it is like, you know, I do kind of sympathize with the frustration and the topic prompt of like it is frustrating to see like anarchists rush to like capitalize on the fear and stuff by like creating their like post-election guide to like doing everything stronger and better and stuff, or like you know, figuring out new ways to do one's politics that like will confront like the bad thing of the moment.
I think of the three of us, I am probably the closest to any activist space. I will probably say that I am. I probably say that. I have definite, like, interactions with what would consider to be activist circles. Some of those circles I am not ashamed of. Others I see in a more calculating way. I don't want to do the thing of saying that everything I dislike is an op, and I am not doing that. But it is really interesting to me that this turn towards homey, depoliticized, grow your community, and often very mundane and prosaic acts of like service has come at the end of what was for many a really radicalizing summer. Like, say what you want about the student movements this summer or spring summer. There's a lot of criticisms to be leveled. I'm not claiming myself as a part of that for multiple reasons. But where I am, and I think across the U.S., should I say the so-called United States to be extra cool?
Only if it has 3 Ks.
No, we're not that kind of podcast. But there was a radicalizing movement. There were people pushing for, there were people doing direct actions that were at least more theatrically emboldened than we've seen in a bit. And a lot of that spread. And a lot of younger people came into that movement. And then that sort of was, well, literally crushed, was broken up, lost a certain amount of momentum simply because it doesn't have inherent revolutionary potential, whatever your analysis is.
Sure.
But what I'm saying is that we had this moment of agitation, self-organization, a lot of radicalization, and then we had, but guys, there's an election coming up, and that simmered down a little. And now we have the most anodyne prescriptions for fascism being offered, and all those prescriptions are all serve your community, know your something about neighbors,
right?
All of these very conservatively, I don't want to say community is inherently conservative, like the I don't know if the author of this piece was implying that, but there's,
I see what you're saying,
certainly something that's a little, it's very defanged. So I wanted to almost say that this is like, it's a demobilization. It's a shifting of energies from outward to being critical of U.S. foreign policy in terms of the way the U.S. sells munitions, being very internationally focused to being hyper-local. And you can say all politics is hyper-local. There's an argument for that, but it goes from radical movement, international perspectives to, well, let's do these like small community projects that are often presented in extremely, I don't know how to describe the aesthetic, like default Canva background, knitting circle. Yeah, it's like it's default Canva pilled, and it has this sort of
the Memphis corporate beige-ness. Yeah, I mean, so I guess I understand, like, I understand how it could come after the better part of, like, you know, half a year or so of, like, people trying to take on like some forms of like protest or direct action to like voice their opposition to the way that like their tax dollars or whatever are being like used in service of like genocide and stuff and foreign policy. And I think obviously the basically people going out of their way to demonstrate against that and then being completely shut out of having any kind of like recourse for political process. I mean, obviously it makes sense that like people would withdraw into more immediate, like kind of human sized forms of political action and direct action sort of thing. But I don't think at the same time that, like, you know, you can entirely withdraw all of your activity and adjust like that between you and like the people you're living with or fucking or whatever, and like call it like some kind of like political turn that will have any kind of like resonance, like unless we're talking about like a metaphysical resonance and stuff against like, you know, a very real material technological capital force, like something called fascism and stuff. And I think like that's the thing, is like that, I mean, it's, God knows it's been clowned on enough, but you know, here, I mean, I'm still gonna the like zine that everybody was kind of like giving a fucking hard time about, where it was stuff like, you know, have a game night and like make soup as like ways to counter like fascism and stuff. I think a lot of that stuff predicates itself on like an understanding of fascism as this kind of like maybe like cosmically like bad vibe and stuff, like just like bad like bad vibes that you can counteract by like having like, you know, doing acts that manifest like the goodness of your politics and the things that you care about, and not confronting it as like an actual material technological structure of like statecraft and like, you know, very plainly like the logistics of like maintaining a state project and integrating the totality of like a state project into it, like and an economy into the state entirely. And I think as like a, when you don't have that kind of analysis of fascism, of anything except like, you know, this metaphysical evil, this contagion that happens when people feel bad and don't know who their neighbor is and stuff, like like you think that you can solve something like fascism by, you know, making a fucking crock of French onion soup for your neighbor, and that'll like make everything better. And I don't think it speaks to the actual like material reason why fascism is, you know, a thing that happened historically, or why it's kind of reconstituting itself in these new different forms. And yeah, I think that's kind of a big thing. And yeah, I also don't think, I would say, I don't think it's handy to even put out there that it's an op personally, just because like, it's like only, not because I'm like, oh, like don't fat jacket this or whatever. Like it's because like, this isn't new. Like this is like politics that people have been like trying to bring into kind of like the bad vibes or like the way to do good things to confront the bad vibes as like an anarchist politics for so long. Like it's not like the, you know, the FBI is trying to sell us fucking oxtails or something trying to goad us into making a fucking pot of borscht or something. But
the FBI is totally trying to keep to catch us when we go dumpster the local hole.
I got wrapped up trying to make some bean with bacon, man.
I don't think it's totally vegan. Absurd to propose, though, that some of the weird Instagram infographic accounts that seem to be kind of coming from nowhere that are potentially trying to disrupt focus from like mass organizing that they see as a threat. Not saying that it's mass organizing I support, but that they possibly see as a threat, by instead proposing a weird sort of homely anti-fascism in which you do the good thing and not the bad thing, right? But that's rather than shutting down public space or like interrupting things from weapon suppliers, it's making soup for your family.
Yeah, I don't think that we represent enough power, like enough concentration of ability to disrupt the logistics of power to like focus on us as like a means to doing counter power.
So I didn't know that.
No,
I'm explicitly saying it's, I'm not, there was an increase in militancy. I'm explicitly, though, saying I don't think this is some sort of op. I think the Instagram infographic industrial complex may have, like,
there's some weird money there, dude.
Yeah, there's weird money there. There's, and I don't know. I mean, are people going to call me a conspiracy theorist if I point out that the Harris campaign spent fucking shitloads of money? And it's entirely possible that, like, some of those weird ass, oh, this is information raising. Mm-hmm. Accounts TikTok,
like there were a bunch of shit where they were reaching out directly to influencers and offering them huge amounts of money. I don't think it's absurd that they could have approached any, I don't know what the accounts are, but any of those accounts that make fucking radical Instagram infographics and said, can you make one that is fake and gay?
Yeah, they approached me to write fake and gay ITS communiques.
Yeah, that was their pitch.
No,
but
like,
all that being said, Kamala still couldn't get on Hot Ones.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't think any influx of, like, campaign dark money or whatever is gonna make anarchists I don't like stop being fake and gay is the thing. So, like,
this is gonna get cut anyway.
It's not. No.
The bash back coming erection.
Maybe. God.
I'm pretty sure that was.
Yeah. Oh man, that new bash back advertisement. I kind of can't tell if it's real. Like, there's no. They're gonna bash back summer, but like it's so bad, and it's like so like focused on, like I was reading it out loud, and like I was reading it like as if it were like Philip Seymour Hoffman and Happiness, like like masturbating while on the phone, being like.
Yeah, the handler was rooted around.
Yeah, we already know. We already know via sex work and porn search that the Western man wants trans seed. They're gonna pay top dollar to suck us off in dark alleys. It's really fucking embarrassing, guys. Like, get it the fuck together. Like, I don't know. I feel like. Every one of these communiques that comes out, I feel like I have like less affection for something that like bashback that was like I found very radicalizing and important, because now it's just like being like the just like trying to measure like fucking
were bad in like 2012 though. Do you remember the Soulja Boy one? It's like collected in the bashback communiques collection.
I'll have to
it's
look like the Soulja Boy one.
It's in which like Soulja Boy joined the like throwing dildos at the police officers and then gaped his hole and everyone cheered.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, this is bad. I don't know.
So I guess I'm just saying it has always been bad and cringe, and we shouldn't labor under the assumption that bashback was not extremely corny at times.
Let's get back to the idea of things being always bad and cringe, because I think that explains.
I was going to say this reads like an ITS communique, but it's individuals tending towards sissification. Okay, yeah, let's get back to the topic. I'm sorry, we don't need to.
Let's consult our queer elder.
What if a Maoist?
Stop it, we're not. No, no. No.
Somebody do this impression. I just am thinking.
God, this is bad. Right. Yeah, no more impressions.
No more impressions.
What if Cat Williams went to the Bashback convention? All right. The thing in here, I don't know if like community is like inherently this thing that we need to worry about as like this right wing like manifestation and stuff. I think it's just actually like community is just kind of like this like very, it's like we talked about with like Alex one time, like joy being like can be marshaled in service of like any, it's like an abstraction that can be marshaled in service of any political ideology. It's fucking Briosky. Any political ideology. it's community can be marshaled in service of any political ideology or whatever, or any like tendency as like justification for itself in and of itself. And I just like, in the same way that like the rights of the individual and like the reification of the individual can also be done in the very same way, obviously, by the seething resentimentos out there or whatever. But like, yeah, it's just like, it gets thrown around a lot as like this kind of like unimpeachable, like kind of buzzword for like unquestionable Memphis corporate fucking anarchist like activity, is that it like builds community and stuff. And like I don't know, like I just feel like it personally, I don't find it like a particularly like marshalling sort of thing. But I also, you know, I also like don't like to invest myself too heavily in like the Iron John like it rugged individualist sort of conception of anarchy. But
I don't, well, we're both making the same noise.
you go first.
I think that theoretically I'm pretty supportive of localism. Right. I think stepping back from sort of like mass consciousness raising, sort of like large scale political solutions is probably good. I think it's probably a nice thing to focus immediately on the people around us and how we can communally better our lives.
Yeah.
Right. I just don't want to do that with the anarchists. I don't like them. They smell bad.
I think that ties into some of this push, because some of this just feels like, well, a community is something that you are part of. I'm part of a community locally. I don't necessarily like want to be, but that's also part of the point of community, is you don't have to like it. And you don't necessarily have a choice. This is the area you're in. These are the conditions underlying it. Mm-hmm. These are the people you're dealing with. This feels more like you're almost trying, I don't know, some of this push towards community almost feels like it's not trying to build a community, which is something that isn't, I almost wanted to say isn't entirely voluntary, but I mean, sure, it is to a large extent. But it feels like it's trying to make friends and family circles. Yeah. And don't people, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, don't they already have that? Hopefully.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, it kind of comes into question with, like, where do we kind of differentiate community with free association and, like, where is like the kind of agency of
like intentional community is the phrase people like to use also. Mm-hmm. Right, which is supposed to be something separate from one that's imposed upon you externally,
right?
But that that's friendship, right? Uh-huh. Are we getting into friendship as a form of life? Right.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I don't know.
I like the idea of intentional community. I don't think I'd ever want to engage in it with other anarchists entirely. Yes.
Well, but I have good news. You're not invited. So.
Well, my job on the commune would just to be a hater.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'd be the jizz. I could be the jizz mopper at the bashback.
Yeah, you're the fluffer at the bashback. Oh, man.
I was looking for work recently, and I was gonna apply to work like third shift at like the bathhouse, and I asked the person like working the counter, I'm like, how is it working here? And they're like, do you like coming here? And they're like, don't get a job here. And I'm like, oh man. I feel like, yeah, having to scrub the bashback, the cots at the bashback barracks.
Someone's got to do it. Yeah. At Wolf Mountain.
No, leave the fairies alone. At least. Just because you nearly got molested at Wolf Creek doesn't mean that.
What?
No, she was an adult.
I was an adult, technically. I forgot it was Wolf. The Short Mountain is the other one.
Yeah, there we are. They seem so sweet.
Yeah.
We should go.
Yeah, there was a year that Wolf Creek laid out like hundreds of mattresses for people to fuck on during, I think it was, I don't remember if it was Samhain or one of those fucking, one of them pagan festivals there, right? Mm-hmm. I remember being kind of disgusted by the concept. Just like,
I can't
what are you guys doing?
I can't imagine you being disgusted by that.
Yeah.
What are we talking about here now?
Community.
Community, right?
Yeah.
I think that I don't know. I don't have really a problem with the idea of trying to build community as an anarchist, especially, and this is something that I'm kind of thinking about, especially like networks of social or interpersonal resilience, like, I mean, your Food Not Bombs or whatever your local mutual aid circle is. I think those are fairly unimpeachably like good things. There's not a lot you can say about that sort of an effort.
Yeah.
But those things, yeah. So I think a lot of, and skill sharing or whatever other little thing that people want to do to get connected with each other, to know each other better, is probably also unambiguously a good thing. But what is the purpose of these things? Are you just, maybe it's fun, maybe it's just what you do to spend your time and deal with all the like produce you salvaged from the local dumpster. Mm-hmm. But when you're being pulled to this is this mass call to community. Again, I think my big problem with the way a lot of this is going out as calls on social media is, where the fuck were you the last year?
Yeah.
Now you're what? Because the Orange Man is going to be the one in charge. Now you're concerned. And it really just feels, not in terms of the actual pragmatic things like find your local mutual aid organization and get involved, which I think is unimpeachably like fine. That's if that appeals to you, that's a fine use of time. But it feels like a retreat from having big concerns. And it also feels like I think just in the way these things are framed and worded feels like it's calling for this nostalgic return to like a community that we all had. Sometimes it's often like, oh, capitalism fractured us. Like, really? Okay. I mean, I'm sure there's some material argument to be made there.
Yeah, there is.
But, yeah, there is. But the nostalgic call to a imagined community is not one that is personally appealing to me. And in the face of it, it just feels very much like a retreat. Certainly. And it feels like an abandonment of politics that isn't anti-politics, that isn't trying to find some other means of action. It feels like an abandonment of effective action in terms of this blobby argument of, well, I'll take care of my neighbors and then we'll be a strong community. And then we'll resist the coming fascism. Bro, what the fuck? The coming fascism, coming, is, it's here. Like,
get over it. Yeah.
How many kids were, it's like kids in cages. Yeah. Oh, we cared about the kids in cages when Trump was in office.
Right. Yeah. Biden
deports more people. Oh, don't hear about that.
Yeah, Afghanistan under Obama.
Mm. And I'm never going to be like, where the fuck were you before? Because everybody comes to these moments from wherever they want to be. But it feels like a very, it feels extremely naive. And that in conjunction with it just having no political chops whatsoever. You make your community. What are you supposed to do? You give some soup to people, and then what?
Yeah, like there was a comment that was like kind of asserting like that basically what that like anti-politics and stuff like is like kind of, I don't know, like an intentional, like it's hard to build like any kind of like further kind of like, I guess, prefigurations or like any kind of plans and stuff out of like an opposition to like engaging in the political sphere and like negating politics and stuff, which like I see the kind of like thread between that and like stuff like that, Gilles Dauve. I don't know, that Gilles Dauve wrote about, like, kind of opposing. Yeah, no, we're not. No.
Gilles Deleuze?
No, that Gilles Dauve, that he was writing about, like, anti-fascism as, like, unable to, like, manifest political will because it was, like, a position in basically that spoke only to negation of a positivist political program.
I don't think
that that's entirely like the anti-politics that people are discussing all the time. I personally did have kind of, I kind of felt bad in the wake of like clowning on the kind of like, you know, like soup and game night kind of like performing acts of care and service for people in your community crowd, because like I would say I engage with anti-politics in like a fairly similar way, but with like different aesthetics or whatever, that like I had kind of like my moment of doubt and stuff about it. Like in the face of that, because I was just like, well, I'm making fun of this and stuff, but like, what do my kind of like, you know, one-to-one scale human-sized politics kind of look like? And I mean, I am invested in like arguably some small-scale political projects and stuff that like attempt to maintain a space as a projectual goal, or attempt to like publish things or whatever, for the purpose of like, or like media projects that like establish like this dissemination propaganda network. But like, yeah, I'm just like, how much different is my life? And I'm wondering if like the anxiety or like the distaste that I felt for it was like kind of not seeing that stuff as revolutionary in my own life, or maybe like a too familiar recognition that I had with it, and then feeling kind of like repelled by that. Like, I don't know, like it kind of hurt. And I don't know if that definition of anti-politics is the same way. I think it all kind of like is the outgrowth of that kind of, you know, revolution of everyday life kind of thing. But I don't think the revolution of everyday life was quite so minimalistic necessarily in its forms of life and definition of life and activity and stuff as like what I'm doing or what they're proposing we do as like ways to counter, you know, totality. And in a lot of ways, I think too, like totality was a fairly foregone conclusion in a lot of ways and a lot of that stuff. And I think that's kind of my thing, is that I think there's an amount of pessimism within myself that like tries to focus on like means of escape or autarky or whatever as a response to the fairly like political pessimism that I don't see in others, and I resent them for not having out of a kind of like weaponized resent, a seething resent, seething resentment. But yeah,
that's,
yeah, fuck it though. Maybe I should just fucking jack off more. Maybe I should do the bachelor. just fucking goon a little bit, man.
I think I would.
Maybe I should just become a pup. Anyway, yep. Sorry. We're making Petra uncomfortable. Yeah. I'm gonna start doing the cum stack, the like nootropic stack for more rebellious loads.
Just a lot of maca.
Just so much maca, bro. Gay people need to just start killing children again.
Yeah, I think that manifesto might be more evocative. Yeah. Right?
Or provocative, at least.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
How is this going to?
Okay. This is a fucking train wreck tonight.
This is such a train wreck. I think there's something to be said for recognizing the limitations of one's own activity, and the urge to flee. I don't know that this attempt to sort of become, at least for me, there's often this sort of, what I think I truly crave is a sort of illegibility, but I don't know. Well, we can cut that out.
No, it's fine. That's good.
No, I'm interested in illegibility. I like that word. The fog.
We had just talked about maca somewhere.
There are so many tendencies within thought. One can, like, there's, I think, like, any attempt at creating a project is, if it's honest, it both accepts its limitations in that it is a discrete thing that will happen and has discrete goals, endpoints, things that it achieves, things that it doesn't achieve, whatever. And it's also a projection into the future. It is, I think if we're being honest with ourselves, we admit that we do have a certain futurity in those, in any attempt to have a project, to do a thing. And we should accept, I don't know, I want to call it a certain amount of like utopianism, not in the sort of more socialist pilled sense, but in, I guess, a way that like, yeah.
Wait, why?
Basically, because I think that any thing that we are doing is remaining faithful to the belief that it can continue and that it will be effective in some way, even if we're honest about its limitations and what we aim to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
What I find, I think I have this very visceral reaction to things that feel kind of activist pilled, in that they are not accepting of those limitations. They do not have any sort of plan or strategy or even future pointing element to them. It's just, I have this like nebulous goal of a community, and I have this, and once I have the community, everything will be great. But it has no, it's not actually future pointing. It's an attempt at like doing things in the everyday and then not considering them projecting outward.
I do. Yeah, I do not necessarily know if I particularly agree. Like, I kind of think there's an amount of like, I don't know if I agree. I feel like we kind of are saying things with different ways of arriving to it. I think there are like kind of like surreal imaginings and stuff that I like, you know, we've talked about bolos or like Fourierist phalansteries or, you know, various kind of like cool prefigurative things that can be thought about, or just general like kind of weird dropping out cultures and stuff.
Right.
I don't know if I like think of any of my political goals as like having that like seed of utopianism in it. Even though I know, you know, Fourier stuff is obviously utopian. But like, I think I kind of would like to think that like I don't think of anything utopian either as like a kind of like placid, like fantasy of like past fantasy of like what better world we want to build, or like the utopian idea that's like the H.G. Wells, like the Eloy and the Morlocks kind of thing. Yeah. It's like this, you know, pastoral beauty, like, and stuff. It's like, you know, basically being, basically like being slaughtered by the actual like kind of people that run the society and like allow them to live in this like pastoral state. Like, I think there's just an amount of like maybe like a kind of pessimism that I know I've already talked about this, like that, like I think is instrumental in that it like allows me to kind of like embrace like that kind of temporality and like failure as a part of like temporality within like gesturing towards autonomy, knowing that it's going to end one way or another. And not kind of holding any kind of like utopian prefiguration as like part of a lasting goal for myself. Though I guess that's also like just like where are we actually setting our goalposts? And I don't know. I think it's hard to see my own politics so similar to something that's grounded in other politics that, you know, as aesthetically cringy as, like, I find things sometimes, you know, I like certain gaming systems that take place in the 41st millennium and game nights for it. And I've been known to make a fucking hearty stew. What's that one Adam Carolla tweet or whatever that's like people are more like men more are more likely these days to wear a bracelet than to make stew. It's a good tweet. But like, yeah, I think the difference though is that like I try not to have like any kind of like lofty idea or like delusion that what I'm doing can possibly be thought of as part of some revolutionary paradigm, because I don't conceive of politics or like the conditions of existence and civilization as just like a bad vibe or something, or right. Like a scary vibe and stuff. And I have an analysis that like basically looks at it all as like a technology and like a conscious material force of technology that attempts to mitigate opportunity, like opportunity to like create rifts of possibility. And like I think the kind of anarchist project for me is actually trying to explore the possibility of evading or existing within seems within the rifts of that system and stuff. And I don't know that like I don't know that I hold an affection for it when the things that I do day to day that I don't think about as political are sold back to me as something that politically I find inane and also like and that I'm told that actually it's like good that you're doing this and stuff, so I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's funny. I think of myself as somewhat like, I guess, nihilistic or pessimistic, but a huge issue I feel around other anarchist types, right, is sort of a lack of imagination or forward thinking and an endless obsession with relitigating identity shit like nonstop, right? Or this combating fascism as anything negative, as satanic war master playing a show in Quebec, right? That all their energy just goes to these fucking black hole pits of causes of endless reaction, right? And that, if I think about it, is a fairly negative, fairly pessimistic viewpoint to not perceive of the actual creation of like of something different, something interesting, right? But instead to just endlessly react to a perceived enemy.
I think that might be what has galled me so much about the surge of organizing in the wake of the last U.S. election. It is just such a reaction to a different face to... It is, yeah, that's all. It is just a reaction, and it's a swell of lumpy nebulousness of, okay, well, what if the things that you already do, like making soup for your neighbors, were good, actually, and that's all you have to do?
Yeah. That
is also, I think I also react very badly to that, because it feels very much like so many iterations of activism we got sold. Oh, all you have to do is take this one small step, email your congressperson, wear this type of pin or badge or identity marker, and you are... incorporating your ideals into your daily life, and then that's all you need to do. Like, I'm not gonna fucking tell you how to live your life, but man, politics is gonna take a lot more than that, and politics is a lot more than that. It is all those things, but the sorts of things that people claim to be afraid of under this new administration are going to take a lot more than these signifying gestures.
Right. Yes. Yeah. It's harsh with that kind of like realization. I think too, I think like it speaks on so many levels to like kind of courting the disaffected like Democratic voter and stuff away from like into trying to like have like a more hands-on approach to, you know, making the world their own and stuff in a way that they couldn't get by voting for it. But I feel like anarchists are just not good at delivering on anything like that. And I think it's kind of like I think that maybe there's a different conception of what anarchist activity or stuff or thought needs to look like that doesn't mirror just like, what if we just short circuit the, what if we like, you know, get all the things that the Democrats want, but like by cutting out the middleman or whatever, so that we put you in the driver's seat. And I think if people just want that kind of like social democratic society, it's like, you know, it's not what I think is a particularly good, like good political end goal in my fucking conception of things. But like, it feels like bad to kind of lead them away from like that kind of like stupid lockstep ritual that they're comfortable in, because like at least they feel like they could be doing something in some sense, and where they have like that kind of like political machine built to these kind of like small aspirations instead of like promising them to demand the impossible by demanding like that they basically are like going to sidestep the Democratic Party into having their own like say in how the new world will be built, but we won't have to vote for it or, you know, any of the things that like they're dissatisfied with at the moment. I think it's just like, it just feels like a grab for energy in a way that like feels distasteful that anarchists would kind of bother with it. And you know, I'm not convinced in the kind of necessity or like goodness or righteousness of like the masses or mass politics and stuff, and I personally like dislike, you know, mass culture in a lot of ways and think it's like a very alienated and kind of desirous and corrupt culture in a lot of ways. And I think that it I don't think that like anarchist or that anarchy or whatever offers anything, should offer anything that looks tempting as a solution to people like them. So I think I differ on that level. And I think when I see it kind of like offered as this, like, hey, if you're like dissatisfied with this, try this. I feel like I've got an amount of revulsion for it in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
I think on that note, we have gone a little over our time.
We sure have. I was just noticing that.
So we are gonna log off for the night. We will see you all at the wild orgy of we're gonna be having a wild brothy orgy and Brian Singer's pool at the LA Bashback. mutual masturbation insurrection party.
The coming erection,
yes.
It's always the coming insurrection and never the edging insurrection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. It's a bit of a problem.
Mm-hmm.